Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast. My name's Marnie Tuttle, and I am celebrating 6.5 years of helping pets and families with the Nova Scotia SPCA. So today, the team is letting me take the mic as we return from our summer break. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. And if you're a new listener, we're so happy you joined us. Today's episode is an important one. We're talking about veterinary medicine in Canada, and we have some interesting points to share with you. And to discuss those points, we've invited a friend from PetSmart Charities of Canada. Welcome, Marika van der Velden, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Marika, I'm going to turn it over to you and get you to tell us a little bit about yourself. And then we're going to do a podcast tradition, the game of fetch.
Okay. Hi, my name is Marika van der Velden, and I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I work for PetSmart Charities of Canada as the Senior Manager of Strategic Initiatives, which means I look at all our programs and make sure that they meet the Canadian landscape and solve Canadian problems.
That's amazing. And I'm so glad that you're here today. So now we're going to get to know a little bit about you.
Okay.
Who was your first pet?
My first pet was a bunny called Nog Niet, which is Dutch for not yet.
Interesting. If animals could talk, who would be the nicest?
I would say probably Labrador Retrievers.
And if animals could talk, who would be the rudest?
That's a good question. I would say probably some of my former fosters.
Not ones you got from the Nova Scotia SPCA.
Of course not. No, my current foster that is at my house right now is a gem.
Wonderful. And who is your hero?
My hero is a woman in Thailand who started an elephant sanctuary, and elephants is how I got into animal welfare.
I know that story. It's a fascinating one. We might need to do another podcast about that sometime. So I want to jump into what we're talking about today. And late last year, PetSmart Charities of Canada partnered with Gallup to conduct the State of Pet Care Study. It was a nationally representative survey of thousands of pet owners across Canada. And we're going to put the link to the study in our podcast description. But you're here to tell us some of the highlights and about what was discovered. So I'm going to jump in with our first question. Can you tell me when there was a study of this size of pet parents before?
So we're not aware of a study that was this comprehensive of the topic of access to veterinary care of pet parents. So for this study, we surveyed over 2,000 people across Canada, both by the internet and by phone, to reach people who may not have service to the internet, to really capture all the voices across all the provinces of Canada.
It's amazing. So why did PetSmart Charities think it was important to do this national survey?
So there are more than 12 million pets in homes across Canada right now. And of those, more than 70% of pet parents consider their pet a part of their family, which I think we can all relate to. Pets clearly add a lot to our lives, our mental health, our physical health. But estimates are that millions of pets in Canada do not have access to veterinary care. So that is really why we wanted to do this study. We knew that this was happening, but in early 2023, PetSmart Charities of Canada committed over $18 million over the next 5 years to support programs improving access to care for more pets. So this is why we did the study.
And were there any big surprises in the findings?
Yeah, let me share a couple of those. So in the 12 million homes that have pets today, we learned that 50% of pet parents have delayed or declined veterinary care in the last year. Out of that, 2/3 of pet parents who declined veterinary care said it was because they could not afford or it was not worth the cost. 21% said it was not practical for them or their pet. A couple of other interesting facts that we learned was that while 65% of those who found care impractical, they were offered alternative options when they raised that with their veterinarian, but only 28% who declined care for cost reasons were offered alternative options. The other really interesting fact that I found was that we had a really good idea of how distance to veterinary care plays an impact in Canada with so many remote communities. But really interestingly, that even 10 kilometers was a distance barrier for a lot of pet parents. And we saw that more pet parents forgone pet care if they had to travel more than 10 kilometers.
Wow, 10 kilometers isn't very far when you think about it in the context of living in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, definitely not for Nova Scotia. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. I seem to remember there was also a stat in there around the income levels where people were turning down care. And the number was quite high. It's a middle income problem, this issue of not being able to access care that you can afford.
Absolutely. It is not just for people who make the low income or what we qualify in Canada as low income. It is really across a lot of different income groups.
Yeah, and impacting a number of families.
Definitely.
So how is PetSmart Charities using these findings out of the Gallup study?
So a couple of things that we're hoping to get out of this. We're sharing the data to really inspire a common purpose and partnership across sectors. So it's not just veterinarians that need to solve the problem. We definitely don't think that it is only going to take veterinarians. It will also take universities and government stakeholders, animal welfare organizations like the Nova Scotia SPCA, pharmaceutical companies. It's like many things, it takes a village to solve a complex problem. We anticipate that the findings will influence the veterinary care space to create more affordable, flexible, and accessible veterinary care models across Canada. One thing that we'll be doing is repeating the survey on a biannual basis, so every other year, to really help us share the story of the progress that is being made. And also we'll be surveying veterinary practitioners to hear their kind of side and how they are being impacted by the challenges in veterinary care right now. And I think for a lot of the data will also really help us empower pet parents to be outspoken on what they need when they go see a veterinarian, to really give them the tools to be clear about what their options are.
Yeah, we've been chatting about that a little bit at the SPCA about how important it is to be able to have a conversation with your veterinarian, and so that you are understanding what you're hearing and understanding that there's more options than just one in most cases. So
exactly.
Yeah. So could you talk a little bit about how the Nova Scotia SPCA and PetSmart Charities of Canada have been working together?
Yeah, we have a really great partnership with the Nova Scotia SPCA. PetSmart Charities of Canada is the largest funder of animal welfare in Canada, and so we work with partner organizations across Canada. And since 2013, we've granted a total of $2 million to support the critical work of the Nova Scotia SPCA. That has included helping shelter pets find homes through adoptions, both through grants and also through space in our PetSmart store adoption centers. We've funded spay-neuter clinics. We've been able to support during disasters, both for helping pet owners that the Nova Scotia SPCA is supporting, and SPCA animals themselves. I remember when the roof was about to collapse at the Cape Breton SPCA and making sure that that was all safe. And then, of course, building models for accessible veterinary care. Our most recent grant was for the Tartan Tails Veterinary Hospital. What has been a highlight for you in our partnership?
So going back to even before I was here, PetSmart Charities of Canada has been probably one of the most historically important funders for the Nova Scotia SPCA. And it was really because of PetSmart Charities of Canada that we were first able to get into the veterinary space. So there was a time when the SPCA had to pay market rate to go externally for veterinary care. And it was in a grant from PetSmart Charities that let us explore opening our first mobile clinic and our first internal hospital to a shelter. And now we've been on this, we're in year two of the 3-year accelerator program, where we're exploring what accessible care means in Nova Scotia with not just the financial support, but I want to say the emotional support and the facts and the data that's coming out of this program that's intended to help more families access care that they need and that they can afford. And it's been really wonderful to be one of the, I think we're one of the 17 pilot hospitals that's part of that program. So not just like what we're learning, but how we're able to bring that information back to the Nova Scotia context, the Canadian context, and hopefully have an impact that's much broader than what we can do out of one hospital in one part of Nova Scotia.
So. Definitely. Yeah. The models that you are exploring in the accelerator program, I think will inform veterinary care across Canada. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. And it also means we get to do really wonderful things. I was looking today, looking back on some of the stories about times when we've been able to help families. And so, you know, we have cases where people come in and they are able to see that they can do the veterinary care that they need, whether that's something that's fairly urgent or whether that's wellness care, but they don't have the financial to be able to pay the upfront cost. And so it's been through the partnership with PetSmart Charities that we've been exploring solutions like payment plans or having discounts off of key surgical opportunities, and looking at what, also just evaluating where we are in the market. You know, what does it cost to do this elsewhere in Nova Scotia, and at what cost can we offer that? And to be able to present that to somebody who's looking down a really significant bill to be able to keep their family together, and to say, well, we might be able to make that a little bit more cost effective, and we can make it so that you pay it off over a year. You don't have to pay it upfront today. It's really wonderful. And when I ask our hospital staff what they're most proud of and what makes them happy, it's largely those stories where they've been able to keep families together.
So that's incredible. Yeah. And that actually reminds me of another statistic that came out of our study, is that fewer than 1 in 4 pet owners were offered a payment plan while discussing options for their pet care. And we know that that can be so impactful. Like, I can only imagine being faced with suddenly a $10,000 bill and not knowing what to do as my next step.
Yeah. And it's definitely different. Like, we're in that partnership and in that study with American hospitals. And there are different solutions that are available in the US that aren't available yet in Canada. So where can we head with those? What are the possibilities there to help keep families together? So you and I have chatted a little bit around this, but coming out of the study, what were defined as the barriers people feel they're experiencing when they try to access care?
Yeah, so it's not, the study didn't necessarily define specific barriers to such a detail, but barriers that we're really familiar with, and there's many. So I think that just goes back to, there's no single solution because there are so many barriers for people. It could be a lack of transportation or not having access to transportation, a lack of nearby veterinary practices if you live in a remote community. It could be limited clinic hours that are only open during your shift work or when you're at your office. And it can also be language differences and unfamiliarity with cultural practices.
Right. Yeah, I think the other one that we've seen is physical barriers. You know, Nova Scotia has a really high incidence of people living needing accessible options. And
absolutely.
In our case, we're putting our clinics in with one exception, in older buildings, and having to find ways to make sure that they're accessible to the public is really key to us being able to serve the broader community. So the next question that I have for you is around veterinary care, and what does affordability mean?
That is such a great question. To me, affordable veterinary care really describes accessible, high-quality veterinary care that meets the needs of both the pets and the owners without causing any excessive financial burden. When we think about low-cost clinic, they provide standard and preventative veterinary care, spay-neuter procedures, vaccines, treatment for minor injuries and illnesses. And then we recognize that there are full-service veterinary clinics that will do specialized care or emergency and surgical care and overnight care, for example.
Those are certainly big issues in Nova Scotia. Yes. And you and I have been tossing back and forth this term of accessible care. Mm-hmm. But is there something that you can share with us about what accessible care is?
So accessible care includes flexible models of high quality veterinary care that really meet all those barriers that we just talked about. So financial, geographical, cultural, language barriers, transportation, to really meet the needs of diverse pet parent populations.
I think the other one that I've been learning more and more about as I've gotten exposed beyond Nova Scotia is the regulatory barriers.
Oh, that's a big piece.
And, you know, the pieces that a group that we're partnered up with in BC can do that's different than what's possible in the Nova Scotia context or Alberta or Ontario. So we have these, even the model that we're trying to build in partnership with you, we can't just like cookie cutter it and place it in St. John's, Newfoundland, which has different regulations, different legislation, and a different understanding of what's required in the community.
Exactly. So each province has its own veterinary association that has set out legislation and regulations around who can open a veterinary hospital, how it can be run, and what they can do, and who can do what in terms of the veterinarian, the veterinary technicians. And we are seeing a lot of conversations happening at different veterinary associations. One piece that is being discussed a lot right now is community vaccinators, which I think maybe not as much for Nova Scotia, but for provinces that have a lot of remote Indigenous communities, being able to train someone in the community to give vaccines to the dogs when, you know, it can be like a 6-hour flight to a veterinarian, is being implemented and is really impactful for those communities in Manitoba and Saskatchewan.
I remember being in a conversation with one of the other participants in the accelerator grant, and she got up in front of a large group of us, and she's a veterinarian, and she's like, listen, during COVID, during SARS, I brought my kids to community clinics. I didn't know necessarily who was vaccinating them, but I knew it was the right thing to do, and I trusted that they would have the skills that they needed. She said in her area, the rules around who can vaccinate her dog is so much stricter than who can vaccinate her child.
So true. And I think back to my COVID experience, and I just walked into a big white tent in a parking lot somewhere, stood in line and got a vaccine. And you're right. I have no idea who they were.
But we were glad they were there.
We were so glad that they were there. Absolutely.
So Marika, we're running close on time, and I wanted to say thank you for taking the time to dig a little deeper on accessible veterinary care in Canada and what we learned through this survey with Gallup. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we wrap up?
I would encourage, if you are a pet owner that is, you know, struggling with a veterinary bill, or are ever in that position, to really have that conversation with your veterinarian. Be upfront about what is feasible and what is not feasible for you, and discuss options and ask for options. Just conversation is so important in those situations. We are really committed at PetSmart Charities of Canada to reshaping this system. So whether you're a vet listening, a policymaker, a nonprofit leader, or a pet parent, you definitely have a role to play in building a more equitable future for pet health. And find out more about this work as well as our other programs on petsmartcharities.ca.
That's great. Thank you so much, Marika. I think one of the things I'd like everybody to take away is that 50% of Canadian pet parents have either skipped or declined veterinary care. And that is the gist of what we need to figure out together, is how we can make that an option where people aren't saying no to something that is needed and required that will help them continue as a family together. So we're there for the pet parents. We're trying to make this all possible. And we work with amazing people in our veterinary hospitals and our regulators who are on board to help make veterinary care more accessible. So it's fantastic. And we're so grateful to PetSmart Charities of Canada for having been our partner for so long and having been a leader in this space for so long, and really excited to see where we go with the information that we have and coming out of this accelerator program. So I'm not allowed to close, I don't think, without saying, if you are looking for a veterinarian in Nova Scotia, don't forget to check out tartantailsvet.ca. We have hospitals in Dartmouth, in Sydney, and in Stellarton. And I also want to say thank you to all the listeners for being here with us today. Don't forget to subscribe to join us for our next episode. And if you've enjoyed the conversation with Marika and PetSmart Charities of Canada today, we ask that you give us 5 stars and share this episode and podcast so that other animal lovers can find us. So thanks again, Marika, and until next time.